All right. Good morning. I want to welcome you all here. I hope that our live streaming is working. If not, hopefully our brothers and sisters, if they feel so inclined, can go and listen to this message later. I want to... my wife is texting me. Hey, we're having issues with live streaming, FYI. I want to get right into the message that I have today. If you are a note taker and a sermon titler, you can title this sermon Shoes. We're going to talk today about shoes, and I'm going to begin here in 2 Nephi chapter 13, and I'm going to read here verses 27 through 30. Familiar, very familiar scripture here. Now, my beloved brethren, after that you have gotten into the straight and narrow path, I would ask if all is done. Behold, I say unto you, nay, for you have not cometh thus far. You have not come thus far, save it were by the word of Christ, with unshaken faith in him, relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. Wherefore you must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. Wherefore, if you shall press forward, feasting upon the words of Christ and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, you shall have eternal life. I was thinking this week about this sermon and thinking, you know, as many of us do, all right, what is fit, what is timely, what is right to talk about? And as I was going, I ended up working, I unfortunately forgot to take myself off the overtime list this week and was hoping to have a nice long 4 days off and ended up getting pulled for overtime at our busiest station. And so I was... when I had some downtime, you know, so you end up getting up in the middle of the night a couple of times. And when you finally get to get back to bed, you sit there and lay awake. So one of these things I was thinking about was I need new shoes. I was thinking about that this week and I was looking around and I thought that I need some new shoes because the pair of shoes that I have, I actually brought the pair of shoes that I have been wearing. And these are pretty good shoes. I like these shoes. These are kind of cool. I hope nobody gets offended that I put them up here on the table. They're pretty clean-ish. They've held up pretty well. I like these because they're. I find that I do better without big arch supports and all that, so they're very flat. And these are made so that they can get wet. They're made for swimming in and all that sort of stuff. They dry off quickly. And they've been pretty good for me. They've fallen apart a little bit. Tabs on the back I've ripped off. The sides are going, but really the reason why I need new shoes, if you look on the bottom, they're running slicks. There's like nothing on them. And while it works just fine for when I'm walking around my house or I'm out taking care of my bees, stuff like that, when I'm at work, there's this very important thing that we do. It's called physical fitness. And we play pickleball. And this is very hard work. It's good that we get paid for it because it's very difficult work. And it's hard to run around and stop quickly and all that when you've got racing slicks on. And what we don't want is anybody to get injured. And so it's important that we get some new shoes. So these are my old shoes. And I was looking at it. And actually, one of the guys on my crew said, we were sitting down in the chairs at the end of the day. And he said, looks at my shoes. I can't believe you're walking around in those. Those are completely slick. So I said, well, I need to get some new shoes. So I started thinking about shoes. And I started thinking about shoes as I'm looking through and kind of deciding which ones I want to get and the function I want of them and all that. And I started thinking about shoes and what we use shoes for. And then I try to think about what's going on in my life and try to think about, okay, how can I apply this to myself spiritually? I found myself thinking about this scripture. Not the scripture I just read, but I'm going to have us turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. And this reading, we probably all know, it's this reading, this description of this armor of God. And Paul, he's laying out all of these aspects of the armor of God. And he says in verse 15, he says that we are to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So I was thinking about shoes, thinking about I need to buy new shoes, and then thinking about my mind was just thinking, oh, there's feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And I started thinking about this. What does that mean? I remember, maybe some of you young people remember, I wasn't actually in this class because I was teaching another one, but the armor of God was one of our theme scriptures in youth camp several years ago. And maybe you guys remember, Bob Hedrick taught this portion of shoes, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And one thing he did is he brought high heels with him. And he said, you know, what can you do with high heels? Not very much. Just thinking about this. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We look at that, the words that are in there, and it says that as you are going every single day, you get up in the morning, the encouragement is that you take the whole armor of God, all of these things, these aspects of your Christian walk that are to help you to be successful in all the challenges of life. And it lays these very glamorous things in there, a shield of faith and a sword and all of that. And then, you know, there's a whole sermon and a very important sermon to be preached around the loins girt about with truth, the belt that holds it all together. But you know what I'll talk a lot about? Our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That as Christians, as we get up every single day, that we are doing it with the intention that I am going to be going somewhere and doing something. That I am prepared to move, to go, to be active, to be a part, and to bring and to share the gospel of peace. One of the two goals I have, and I've shared, and I'm going to continue to share for the Church of Christ this year, for the Phoenix Local, that we increase our fellowship in activities and in services. And the second one is that you make the effort to invite one person this year. Put on your shoes and be out ready to talk about the gospel of peace, to go somewhere with it. I want to go to Exodus chapter 12, and then I'm going to dig into my giant bag here. Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, if we think about all the story of the Old Testament, we know that there was the Israelites, they were there in Egypt, and for a while they were very friendly, but the Israelites, they got too many, they were just growing too much, and so they became slaves, right? And over the course of years, this is when this guy Moses rise up, you know, we know he goes to the Pharaoh and says, let my people go, right? We know that. That's the story of it. And then there was this thing that happened that the Lord said, okay, there was all these plagues that happened, and then there was this last one. And it was this plague, this announcement that there was going to be death that passes over Egypt. And all the firstborn of every house was going to die, to include the Israelites, if they didn't make preparation for it. And one of the things that they were supposed to do is they were supposed to take, and if their family was small, they were to join to their neighbor's family, or they would have all their family come together, and they were going to take a lamb, and they were going to kill it. And they were going to take its blood, and they were going to put it around the posts of their door as a sign, and then they were going to eat it. They were going to cook it, and they were going to eat it. And the Lord gives this instruction. So I'm going to read quickly 1 through 11, just so we can think about this here. The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you a beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. So he says, what's going to happen here is going to mark the January of your calendar, right? The beginning. So important what's going to happen here. Speak you unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the house be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Well, it's like I already said that. I didn't need to read that. I said it. Your lamb shall be without blemish and a male of the first year, and you shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread. With bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw or sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, and his head with his legs and the pertinence thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain till the morning, and that which remaineth of it in the morning you shall burn with fire. And so he says, he gives us instruction. He says, what's going to happen here and what I'm telling you to do is going to mark such a significant event that this is going to begin your calendar every year. It's going to be this significant thing. And he says, you are going to take this lamb and you're going to bring it. And all at once on this certain day, everyone is going to kill this lamb. Everyone who has one in their house. You're going to take its blood, put it over the posts of the door. You're going to cook this lamb. You're going to eat it, every bit of it. If you guys don't finish it, you get full. You're going to burn the rest of it so that there's nothing left. And then we get to verse 11. It says, and thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded and your shoes on your feet and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. I was thinking of this in that the Lord, you know, he puts in front of the house of Israel. We know what happens after this, right? After this happens, this angel of the Lord, it passes over, and this terrible cataclysmic event happens, and the firstborn of all of Egypt dies. And the pain and the frustration and everything of us so much that the people of Egypt say, get out of here. Here, take everything of us. Take our jewels. Take all this sort of stuff and go. And so it was important that the people of Israel be ready to go. So the Lord says, this is going to be such a significant event. As it's happening, you better have everything ready to get out of here. Have your shoes on your feet, right? Be eating it fully dressed. Everything ready to go, because the moment the Lord says go, you need to get going. So just thinking about this. 2 Nephi 13, it said, you press forward. It says, once you get in the straight and narrow path, he's talking about baptism, and you become a part of the people of Christ, become one of his. It says, once you've started down this road, what is it that you have to do? So you got to continue to press forward. The house of Israel here, they were all there. And the Lord says, you know, you are now part of me. You're my people. And I'm going to free you. And you need to be ready to go. Prepared to go. In Ephesians, it says that every day you have shoes on your feet because you are ready to go. Ready to look, ready to walk, ready to find, all that sort of stuff. So I have bad shoes up here. I brought a handful of shoes, though, because I want to show you something. I want us to think about this. I was thinking about the mindset that we need to have as members of the Church of Christ, that our life is a perpetual going forward, right? I've made a commitment and that's good enough, but that my entire life is about looking to perfect myself in Jesus Christ. The way that he asked me to think, I'm going to work that way. I'm going to put on my shoes and I'm going to walk that way. The way that he told me to speak, that I'm going to work to get that direction. I'm going to put on my shoes and I'm going to go that way. I'm not just going to stand here still. I'm going to be prepared to move. That the Lord says, you know, he gave this great commission at the end of Matthew, and he says, go everywhere, all over the place, and tell everybody, baptize, preach, talk to them about repentance and salvation and hope, and where they're struggling and suffering, that Christ can bring healing and blessing and all of those things. But, you know, in order to do it, we've got to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So some shoes. Laura will remember this with me. Aaron will. Some of you. Remember how much we fretted over? You were a class or two behind me in the academy. Remember how much we fretted about having our boots polished? And they were real specific that we weren't allowed to buy shoes like this. These are, I was issued these by my department. These are, they're all dusty because we don't wear our class A's very often in the fire department. Yeah, what do they call these? Core frames, yeah. They're very uncomfortable. They look really nice. They're fancy shoes, right? Anybody ever worn some of those? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, in the honor guard, yeah, you're wearing those. What does it feel like after standing for a while in those? Yeah, because the plastic that they're made, it never wears in. You get leather or something, it's going to loosen up a little bit. Those never wear in. They're a hard plastic, and they never wear in. Oh, that's right. Yeah, they do bake in the sun. Yeah. Same with like your leather boots. I remember I remember the first summer I was a police officer, and I still made a habit of putting a mirror shine every day on my boots. And I remember one day in the middle of July, I was in the middle of 51st Avenue and Camelback, directing traffic on an accident. And it was so hot coming off of the asphalt that all of the polish on my boots was melting and pooling down. And it was miserable. Yeah, not comfortable. My regular shoes there, you know, they're not fit right now for a journey. They're well worn. They're comfortable to me, right? But they're not fit for a journey. I couldn't go out and walk some great distance in those. I have trouble not killing myself when I'm very seriously exercising at work, you know, to make sure that I stay. Not everybody thinks it's as funny as I do that we play pickleball. It's like a sole focus for us sometimes. That's part of our schedule. When do we play pickleball? Not good for that. Not good for a journey. Metaphorically, it wouldn't be good for me to decide that I'm going to put those on to try to take the gospel somewhere, because it doesn't fit. Not going to get me there. Solely built on comfort and not on utility. The second pair is solely built on looks. You know, the gospel of Jesus Christ is not always glamorous. Ask any minister here. We have to wade through some real struggles. Or any one of you who have had a friend or a family member or some close one to you who has had great struggles, and they've come to you and you felt this burden upon you to help them through it. It's not pretty. And it's also not comfortable. Not what I would put on if I was to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have these ones. These boots are, if you were to lift them up, I've talked before about how heavy it is, the gear that we do firefighting in. These boots is probably, I don't know. Aaron, you want to heft those real quick? I'm going to say like 10 pounds. Oh, here we go. Yeah. It's almost nothing. You firefighters. I was in your spot before. All right, these are fire. There may be seven. Oh, I'll give you 8.5. One set, these are being replaced because they're no longer safe in a fire because I wore out the toe right here. You know, when we're going through hot places, I'm in a fire, we have to stay low. And because my knees are so bad, I look really funky, but I end up dragging one foot behind me when I move through there. And so I've managed to wear out the toe. So this is no longer safe. These are incredibly uncomfortable. Well, let me say that again. They're actually very comfortable. They're not comfortable to go any sort of distance in. They're not comfortable to climb in or anything like that, because it's just extra added weight. Every time, I mean, you lift your foot, and it's like, doggone, it's like somebody put bricks on my feet. They have a tremendous amount of safety. I can go into a fire, and those will withstand. I think they're built to withstand 500-plus degrees for, I forget how long. There's like a NFPA standard on it, something like that. As long as it's intact, and that one's not considered to be intact. But the payoff is that it's incredibly uncomfortable. Those make me want to stay in one spot. When all of us, when we go on a call, if I go on a fire call or something like that, what I don't want to do is when I get there, I don't want to have to walk all over the place, because every step I take, I'm sapping some amount of my energy. As soon as I have to go and do something, if I have to go into a fire and I have to pull ceiling or I have to do something like that, if I've already because like we had one the other day where I had to go and I had to pull a hose line to get a water supply to a hydrant 200 feet away. I'm in all of that gear. By the time I got done pulling it off the truck all the way over, I got back. I'm like, man, doggone. I'm already breathing hard. Because these boots make me want to stay in one place. They're incredibly safe. And in terms of actual physical comfort, they're very comfortable. But they make me want to go nowhere. And that's not having my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. being ready to go somewhere. I do have a pair of boots. This is actually my second pair of these boots. I'm going to take a minute and I'm going to sing the praises of these boots right here. Salomon GTX 4. These are the best boots you will ever find that are affordable. I have one. So this is my second pair. My first pair, Easton finished wearing out last year. I had them for 7 years. 7 years. And these ones I got last year. I've never put anything more comfortable on my foot, ever. They, for what they are, they're pretty light. They are water and chemical resistant. Yeah. So you like those, huh? They're pretty nice. These aren't 8.5 pounds. Water and chemical resistant. So my other ones, I would go up to the snow and I would walk around in snow. All day long, snow. There was a, we had an elk hunt a couple years ago. Gary's boys and we were up there, and in the middle, you know, one night, it snowed. We woke up in the morning, 6 inches of snow. We went out and hunted all day in it. It was a ton of fun. And everybody's feet were soaking wet. Mine weren't soaking wet. I'm sludging through it all day long. I've hiked all over the place. The pair that I had before, I took them. I went all through Africa in them. I went to Honduras several times. Only those. Didn't bring any extra shoes. Every hike I've gone, every hunt I've gone, working out, if I'm going out and working out in front of my house and dragging tires and stuff like that, it's what I use. They wear incredibly well. These are my shoes, metaphorically speaking. These are the preparation of the gospel of peace. I'm putting on shoes that are comfortable, that'll take me where I need to go, that don't make me feel like I have to stay in one place, that aren't just for looks. They're willing to go through, and they're able to go through difficulties and hard times. They fit a function even though they're comfortable where those ones don't. And I'm talking metaphorically here and all that, but I want you to think about this, that within every one of us, there's all these different thought processes that we can have. Is that... I'm gonna continue on. But I just want you to think about that. And I'm going to jump right now. I've got three different points I want to make, and then I'm going to close. And so I want to tell you this, is that, you know, we look at these scriptures, and we see in all of these different things, you know, that Nephi tells us, he says, when you've committed yourself to Christ, every one of you who is sitting here, okay, who understands this, you're coming here for a reason. There's some sort of commitment you've made, and I hope that you've been baptized. And if you have, the commitment is even more important, okay? But if you're here, there is something that is a requirement of you, and is that he says in verse 29, you must press forward. You must go. You can't have your feet with something that is completely safe and uncomfortable to walk in. To feel like I've come, I've arrived, I'm on the path, it's good enough. You also can't have your feet shod with something that doesn't give you any traction going over, because this walk of a Christian is difficult. We have to climb. How many times have those of you who are listening to me, have you had to wade through and climb up difficult obstacles spiritually that tested you, that made you wonder if you could make it? How many times have you had, see, this is what happens when I'm playing pickleball in this, is I'll go, and sometimes, you know, you try to run and I'll get that first one, just whoop, slide away, you know, it takes two steps to go forward. Or that everything is always glamorous in a walk of Christ. Not the way it is. The role of a Christian is to be ready to put in hard work, that our feet are shod with something that is willing and able to go wherever it is. Any challenge that's in front of us. I hope all of that I'm talking about, that I'm saying, you understand, you can make all the connections in your mind. If my analogy doesn't make total sense, I hope, by the shaking of heads out there, either, you know, I think you guys understand where I'm going. So I want to do this. I want to go and I want to turn to Romans chapter 15. And I'm going to read verses 11 through 15. That is not the scripture I wanted. Hang on. Let me see if I mistyped. All right, I'm going to jump over. Oh, hang on. Let me get into my scripture app real quick. I wrote down the wrong one. Someone wants to make the Jeopardy song while I'm waiting here. All right. Well, I'll summarize what it was they was talking about here. In this particular place, it was talking about this first point I have that I want us to think about is that, you know, in your walk, you have no choice but that people are going to look at you. Every day, everywhere you go, you are looking at people and you are making some sort of assumption or some sort of judgment upon them. Someone who opens the door for you, you're thinking a certain thing about them. That was polite. What a nice person, right? Someone who cuts in line in front of you, whatever it is, right? Everywhere we go and in everything we do, we are preaching. We are showing something. The first point that I have that I want us to think about in this journey that you have is I want you to as you put on the armor of God every day, is that you put on the shoes that are ready to go and that you remember that you are every day, you are living your Christian walk through words and deeds and people are taking notice. The best example that we can be, or the best way that we can share the word of Christ, we can share the hope that we have, that we can share this gospel of peace is by people seeing it in us. How many times has anybody had this happen before where you bowed your head at a restaurant and offer a prayer over food and somebody's come up to you afterwards and thanked you for doing that? We had we were at the dinner with Deb and Andy and all of our kids. We did it at Manuel's and we offered a prayer and so an old couple came up and they paid for our dinner. There was a lot of us there too. You remember that, Deb? Yeah. Everything we do, we are an example. How many years ago was it that Charles Barkley said, "I'm not asking to be a role model for anybody," right? Impossible. Wherever you go, someone is watching. And part of this pressing forward is that we walk knowing that we are representative of Jesus Christ in all that we do. Someone's life can be forever changed by one interaction with you. Have you ever thought about that? Forever changed by one interaction. Let's go to Alma chapter 15, and I'm going to read verse, as long as I wrote this one down correctly. Yeah, 51. I'm going to read through 53. And this is after there was, as you find over and over again, this broken record of the Book of Mormon. People fell into sin. They started doing these wrong things. All of a sudden, there was terrible things that happened to them, and they were attacked and all that sort of stuff. And so this is after there was this great battle and all that. There's this statement that is made in verse 51. It says, "Thus we see the great call of diligence of men to labor in the vineyards of the Lord. Thus we see the great reason of sorrow and also of rejoicing. Sorrow because of death and destruction among men, and joy because of the light of Christ unto life. Oh, that I were an angel, and that I could have the wish of my heart, that I might go forth and speak with the trump of God, with a voice to shake the earth, to cry repentance unto every people. Yea, I would declare unto every soul, as with the voice of thunder, repentance, the plan of redemption, that they should repent and come unto our God, that there might be no more sorrow upon all the face of the earth." I put the scripture in here because this is a mindset that I don't have, and yet I ought to. You know, here it's, I think this is Alma writing, and he says, "I'm looking at the state of everything around me, and I have this great blessing that in my life, I know what this gospel of peace is." He says, what if I had this pulpit, this place that I could speak and the whole earth would shake and everybody would look? It would cause everybody's attention and that I could tell them that Jesus is the Savior, the answer to all of these things. And he makes the statement, he says, I know that I sent him my wish. I ought to be content with what the Lord has given me. But what did the Lord given him? Or what has the Lord given you? Are you making the efforts every day to be willing to share this gospel, the preparation of the gospel of peace? Why is it that it's worth your time and your effort to live differently, think differently, to try to pattern your life differently, to change the way that you have made mistakes and all of those things? I want to read Moroni chapter 9. Wait, no, don't go there. I want to read, I looked at the wrong little bullet point. Hebrews chapter 13. I probably could have just quoted this one, but verse 1 and 2, it says, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have been entertained angels unawares. I've always thought that was an interesting scripture. It says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, because some have entertained angels unaware. You look scripturally, there were times that there was these interactions of people that turns out, unknowing to them, they had received an angel and had served them a meal or something like that. But I want you to think about this, is that, you know, he makes this statement. He says, don't forget that you have something wherein you can be a blessing to those around you. It's not always convenient when someone knocks on my door when it's time for dinner. Not always convenient when somebody calls me in the middle of the night. Certainly not convenient when someone calls me in the middle of the night when I'm at work. I don't know why anybody calls after 10 o'clock. But opportunities in front of us. I want you to remember that as part of your commitment to Christ and as part of your putting on the armor of God, it is that you are ready to be a blessing to those who are around you. That you recognize that the things that you do and that you say are being seen and you have this great influence. That there are those who, absent you, may never hear of the blessing of the word of Christ. Absent you. I want you to remember, as you are part of this walk, as you get up every day and you put on your shoes ready to be a part, an active part of the gospel of Jesus Christ, remember that this life is going to be difficult. But with difficulty comes great blessing. It comes with some things. And I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I want to read verse 13. Another familiar scripture. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. None of you are completely unique. Not a one. Whatever you've dealt with, you're not so special that nobody else has ever had that problem before. Every one of us, you know, from the beginning of time, people have struggled with the same things, with problems in relationship, with kids who don't pay attention, with conflict one with another, with bosses they don't like, with temptation being put in front of their mind, with failures, with all these. This is what life is. You know, and this is a good reminder. He says, there's no temptation taking you but such as common to man. You know, this is one reason why we come together for prayer services and we share testimonies. There's nothing that I've faced that isn't common. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with your temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. What is the promise? We don't get a free ride. Just because we've entered into the walk of Christ, life is not necessarily going to be easy, but the promise is that God is going to be with us. That when you have something that seems unbearable, that God's promise is, I'm going to be there to help you to bear it. Not necessarily to take it away from you, but to help you to bear it. I want to read Moroni chapter 9. And I'm going to read 27 through 28. This is Mormon talking to his son at the very end. The very end. He's going to be killed in battle as society is breaking down into just absolute destruction and war and all of that, and the full destruction of the Nephites. And he's writing this to his son, Moroni, and he says, "My son, be faithful in Christ. May not the things that I've written grieve thee to weigh thee down to death, but may Christ lift thee up. May his sufferings and death and the showing of his body to our fathers and his mercy and long-suffering and the hope of his glory and of eternal life rest in your mind forever. May the grace of God the Father, whose throne is high in the heavens, and our Lord Jesus Christ, who sitteth on the right hand of his power, until all things be subject unto him, be and abide with you forever." What a beautiful and poetic couple of verses there. But one of these things that he's reminding his son of, he says, listen, there's all these difficulties that are going on. Okay, but as you're going through it, and if you were to go back to verse 6, he makes this statement in verse 6. He says, it doesn't matter what's going on. We have this responsibility we're going to do. But he says in verse 27, he says, all of these things that are going on, don't let those cause you to get stuck and not want to move forward. Don't let it weigh you down. Instead, remember that we have a hope. We have a hope of what comes next. If we endure, if we struggle in the right ways, we have this hope that God will be with us. And he says, you know, that he ends it. He says, may the grace of our God and our Lord Jesus Christ be and abide with you forever. You know, that's this promise that we have. If we've been baptized, we have this promise and this assurance of God with us through his Spirit. So let's remember those things. The last verse I want to read on this point, and I'm going to move on, is in Galatians chapter 6. Verse 9 and 10. It says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Therefore, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially those who are of the household of faith." Remember that everything is going to be, you know, not everything is going to be easy. We're going to have troubles and difficulties. But let's have our mind, our focus in the right way. We are participants. We are putting on the preparation of the gospel of peace, of hope, of a future, of a strengthening, of a salvation, of a blessing. Not of misery, not of hopelessness, not of all the troubles of the world. Gospel is good news. Something that should motivate us, and we should be ready to share and to have those things ready on our mind always. I'm going to do this last thing I want you to remember as you put on your boots and you're ready to go into this battle of life and you're doing it ready to go where the Lord takes you. And you want to go forward and to be a blessing. I want us to remember that God has given us these things. He's given us helps. And I'm going to have us go to Moroni chapter 10. And I'm just going to read. Ooh, this is kind of long. I'll just dabble in it here. 7 through 14. It says, "You might know that he is by the power of the Holy Ghost. I would exhort you that you deny not the power of God, for he worketh by power, according to the faith of the children of men, the same today, tomorrow, and forever." I want to stop here for a second because I want to just say this, is that, you know, we read a little bit back here about the difficulties of life, the temptations of life. They come on everybody. And, you know, I've had my fair share of them. And I found that when I approach those things half-heartedly, when I tried to figure out how I can weasel my way through this difficulty, how I can reason through it, how I can talk through it, how I can negotiate through it, nothing has ever worked. But it says here that God works by the faith of the children of men. That when we exercise our faith, when we give ourselves, our troubles, our difficulties, all of those things over to God and say, "Okay, what do you want? I'll go where you want me to go. I'll say what you want me to say. I won't do." You know, he promises that he's going to be active in our life. We're going to read here about the gifts of God. These things, these helps that he does to help us along our way so that we're not walking alone. "Again, I exhort you, my brethren, that you deny not the gifts of God, for they're many and they come from the same God. There are different ways that these gifts are administered, but it's the same God that works all in all. And they are given by the manifestation of the Spirit of God unto men to profit them. For behold, to one is given by the Spirit of God that he might teach the word of wisdom. You know, we come here, and how many of you, you know, my wife has this testimony that there was a trouble in her life, and she sat down here in church, and the minister said, I have a message, and it's specifically for someone here. It was not what I intended to say, and it answered the questions that she had. When we come in faith, he has this help that by the word of wisdom, he will direct us and guide us. To another, that he might teach the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, exceeding great faith. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Many of us have experienced that we were weighed down by some great physical difficulty. Or maybe it was even spiritual. And the Lord helped us, blessed us, was with us when we exercised our faith. And to another, that he might work mighty miracles. And another, that he might prophesy concerning all things. To another, the beholding of angels and ministering spirits. And to another, kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of languages. These gifts come by the Spirit of Christ, and they come unto every man severally according as he will. And I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that you remember every good gift cometh of Christ. And I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that you remember he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that these gifts of which I have spoken, which are spiritual, never will be done away as long as the world shall stand, only according to the unbelief of the children of men. This last verse right here puts it on us. That if you in your life don't feel that God by His Spirit is looking to give you, whether it's through a sermon or through something you hear, a dream, you know, whatever it is, wisdom, understanding, knowledge. But we remember verse 14. It says, God hasn't changed. He is there to help us along our way. He has a goal He wants to get us to, and He's willing to do everything to get us there as long as we work with faith. Long as we allow the Lord to direct us and we believe that He has our best interest in mind. I'm going to go to Romans 8, 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You know, I think about this particular verse, and the way that I think of this is that as I pour my heart out to the Lord, I just, you know, when I have something that is really weighing on me, I kind of just have, I don't know, I just this word vomit to God. This is what's going on. This is what I feel. This is what I'm thinking. This is all this sort of stuff. And my faith is that the Lord is going to look through all of that, and He's going to recognize what I see that I need, and He's going to say, this is the best course of action for Adam. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That Christ intercedes on our behalf and says, you know, Father, this is what Adam needs right now. Now, he doesn't understand everything. He's not completely there. But would you be willing to do this for him, for my son, for the sinner? We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. So that's such a difficult thing when we look at some of the troubles that we've all faced. So how does this, all these difficulties work together for good? You know, and I've had these times in my life where I'm looking at everything I'm going through and I'm like, I don't see where there's good in this, Lord. I just don't see it. But when I've allowed the Lord to, and I've placed my faith in him and let him do his thing, he's helped me in my walk. And my life is good. I'm blessed. I have something that I can share and tell everyone that God has been so good and interceded on my behalf. Two scriptures and I'm done. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 2:8 in Sunday school the other day, if any of you picked up on this, not because I'm some great scholar or anything, but if you look through almost every one of the New Testament letters, you'll find that there's a couple things that are done. I said 1 Timothy, I mean 2, sorry, chapter 1. There is typically a firming up or a rehearsing of the true doctrine of Jesus Christ. There is a warning. And you find commendations and condemnation of people. Those who have made mistakes, who might be enemies to the church, and commending certain actions of people. And I want us to think about this. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, this is this commendation. Paul is something. And it says in verse 16 through 18, it says, "The Lord give mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy in the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well." You know, Paul stops for a second. He says, you know, these times when he says he was not ashamed of my chain, you know, Paul was a prisoner. He had needs and all of that. And he says, you know, may the Lord be merciful to someone who he wasn't ashamed of me. Our brother Don used to share this story. It wasn't his, but it was his observation of when he was in Mexico that one time. And I forget, it was at Leon, whenever it was, he was there and having dinner with this very, you know, wealthy, well-to-do man. And they walked out and Leon saw this beggar there in the gutter. And he wasn't ashamed to go to his brother. Well, we have this amazing help as we walk in this difficulty of life, as we do what the 13th chapter, 2 Nephi says, that we press forward. And every one of us has needs. And not any one of us is strong enough to overcome all of the challenges without God and without the strength of the body. It's important. There's a reason. And I want us to remember that we have this opportunity and we should be looking to how we can be a blessing to those who are around us. I won't be able to tell the story without crying, not because it's anything big, but you know, the reason Aaron and I, among many things, have a great relationship. We had a hike that we went across the Matazels in supposed to be 3 days. We got tired at day two and said, we're just going to finish this up. But, you know, it was very difficult. And we had gone and we were, you know, going from spring to spring. And, you know, the springs were drying up. It was hard to get water and all that. It was very physically taxing. I think when we got home, I think I had lost somewhere around 20 pounds. It was just outrageous what we went through. And, of course, most of that was water weight. But, I mean, you sweat all that out. A tremendous, tremendous amount of effort put out. And, you know, we got to this place. I had hurt my knee about a week before. It was very big and swollen. I decided I was going to go and do this anyway. And we had gotten someplace. We were all tired. Aaron had slipped. We were on some going uphill and the rolly rocks and all that. Aaron had slipped and fallen down right on his hip and was injured, you know. And we sat right there in the trail knowing we had a long way to go. And we refreshed one another. We prayed together. And we stuck with each other. We spent the rest of that time. How you doing? I'm doing good. How about you? A lot of reasons why I love Aaron. But I think about that. Is that this is really one of these helps that the Lord has put in our lives. As we walk this path, as we continue to press forward. Paul commends this man, one of many that he commends. But he says, "Lord, give mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed." Last scripture, John chapter 14. Verse 1 through 3, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also." I want us to remember this, is that God has a purpose for us. Christ has a purpose for us. We weren't haphazardly made without a reason, without a goal in mind. For every one of us, you know, the Lord, as he created us, he looked at us and he said, "I have a plan for this one. I have a plan for this one." And a God who has purpose for us, he's willing to go to great lengths to help us to accomplish what he purposed for us. And so I want you to hold on to that. I want you to get up tomorrow. If you're going to go back to work, I'm going back to work tomorrow. You know, get up. I'm going to put on my shoes physically. I'm going to put on those slicks. Metaphorically, I'm going to put on being ready. Lord, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to say? And you know, I'm going to pray that the Lord will help me to have the courage to do it. And I want to encourage each one of you to that. So God bless you. God bless each one of you in your struggles and your difficulties. Look to the Lord. Let Him guide you. And look to your brothers and sisters. Let them help you. Let them refresh you. And let's make efforts to serve the Lord as we walk through this life. Thank you.